Well, as has already been made mention this morning, we do have a lot that are out, but we're so glad that you're here with us. We've got some out traveling, some out sick. And then as I talked to Christian yesterday, and I didn't have a feeling they'd be here because she's ready for tomorrow to be here and over with. This has been a little rough on her these last few months. So just as Brother Taylor prayed for her, all of us need to be praying that everything goes well with her and that in the morning. She said they have to be there at 6. C-section scheduled for 8, and the baby should be here by 8:15. So, and that's the plans for in the morning. So just keep them in your prayers. I do need to make mention, I left someone off the bulletin, did not even think about it until I was passing it out, but I was asked to include Randall Allen on our prayer list. That's Donnie and Donna's son, Donnie and Donna Allen from over at Central. His cancer has returned. And I don't know exactly everything, but I know that things are not going as well as they want it to. And Randall's having a hard time. So they've asked for prayers on his behalf. So that's Randall Allen. His parents are Donnie and Donna, who are over at Central in Charlotte. We're just a little over 2 weeks away from the new year. We've got 15, 16 days left in the year. And then 2020 will be here. A new decade, a new time period for a lot of us. And so what I want to do this morning, and then Lord willing on the last Sunday of the month, we'll have a similar lesson. Today I want to talk about preparing for the new year. And then on the last Sunday of the month, I want to talk about planning for the new year and some things we need to plan for as we look at the new year. And my goal is also to look at some of the things we're going to be doing here at the congregation in the new year. Some of the sermon series that I'm looking at, and so that way you can give a little feedback on that as we plan for a new year here. It's hard to believe that I've been here practically 2 years now. First of January will make 2 years. And so, as we preachers say, I'll be entering my third year. So that's the way a lot of the preachers call it. So, be 30 years worth of sermons coming soon. A preacher one time said that he only stayed somewhere every 2 years so that way he didn't have to write new sermons. He was joking, of course, but I can feel that similarly in a little way as well. But we're looking forward to a new year. One way we need to look at life, and we're all probably guilty of not doing this at times, is looking to the positive side. A lot of times we'll focus on the negative. What's wrong? What's wrong with our life? What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with our society? What's wrong with the congregation? What's wrong with our family? And we don't look at what's right. And let me tell you, if we're going to focus on what's negative, that will always be our perception. So we need to focus sometimes on the positive side. And as I mentioned here before, I have a friend who talks about every morning when she gets up and goes to work, she says, I can just make it through today. If I can just make it through today. And has a negative disposition on her job and day before she ever gets there. And then is surprised when she has a bad day. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If we go into a situation expecting the worst, planning for the worst, letting the worst ideas consume us, are we going to feel positive when it's over? Occasionally we'll have that moment where it goes so well that we're like, oh, I'm just completely surprised it went very well. But majorly, it's not going to go well for us. And so as we're preparing for a new year, we need to be looking at it from a positive perspective. What good can we accomplish in 2020? What good can we be a part of in 2020? And if we will look at it in that perspective, it'll be a year that's more filled with love and service and optimism. Have you ever met someone that just has a positive disposition no matter what's going on? How would you describe that person? Well, when we're having a bad day, we might describe them as perky, bubbly, and annoying. But when we're trying to be more like them, we would say they're always happy. There's always a smile on their face. They get that way because of how they're conditioning themselves. And so we need to take a little lesson from that. I think it's important, though. I had Andy read Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. Because it's important for us to understand who we're serving, who we're here on the earth for. And Paul, in this discourse, is talking to them about this altar he sees, or this stone he sees that says, to the unknown God. Excuse me. And instead, in verse 24, at the end of verse 23, he says, therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. And then where Andy read for us, read with me again. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. And they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his children. We learn from just these small few verses where Paul's talking here, that God gives to all the gifts of life, the gift of breath, the gift of all things. God is a giver. We understand that God has made all mankind as one. We looked at that here recently in our studies about how God has made us as one combined people, that we might live on the earth, that we might exist in the same time, in the same space, that we might breathe the same air, see the same stars, see the same proof of his work. God has made us all similarly. And he has given us purpose. Folks, the problem that people have in life is they lose what the purpose of their life is. You may have even said it at a time or heard someone say it, I don't know what my purpose is anymore. Purpose is found through God who gave life. And the purpose that he gave each of us is to serve him. Is to be his children. And so if we want to have a better year ahead, if we want to prepare for a good year, a good 2020, let me list just a few things that we need to be preparing in ourselves so that we can have a successful year. Let's start with maybe an easy and hard one at the same time. Love. For God, we must love Him first and foremost. Let's look at two different passages on this. Let's start in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Starting in verse 37. This is in the parable of the landowner. It says, but afterward he sent a son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. Sorry, that's 21. I'm thinking, why do I have this verse in here? I apologize. Chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. That makes a lot more sense. God's number one commandment is love. That is the foundation of our service towards him and towards each other. That is the foundation of why he sent his son. What does John say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We show our love to God by how we interact with others, how we interact with His children, our brethren. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to who? To them that love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. There's that purpose again. We have to start, if we're wanting to prepare for a good year, a year that is filled with love, we need to be building on the fact that our foundation ought to consist of love for God, but also love for our brethren, as we've already alluded to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, let brotherly love continue. Hebrew writer saying, you've been practicing, continue to practice it. Love is not an emotion that we show once and then it's done. Love is something that we must show day by day. In the way we interact, in the things we do, in the words we say, in the places we go, in how we treat each other. We ought to be continually showing love towards one another. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Let brotherly love continue. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says, since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You fervently love one another. You take great time to love one another. You give sacrifice in order to love one another. You be devoted to loving one another. If we will let this begin, maybe we've not been practicing this in the past, or maybe we did, but we've gone away from it. But if we want to have a good 2020, we need to be practicing love. But let me add to one more category. Not just to God, not just to our brethren, but to my fellow man in general. How I treat people that I see. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and the second is like it, going back to that last phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for them who spitefully use you and persecute you. In society today, we love a word that starts with R called revenge. We need to be treating our fellow man with love regardless of how they've treated us. We need to be showing kindness towards each other. Paul puts it best in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, when he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Relationships can change, trust can go away, but we still need to have love for our fellow man. And involved in that is not harming, not despising each other. And so if we're preparing for 2020, then at the root of all of my relationships, whether they be with God, with my brethren here at Rock, with my brethren the world over, or with my neighbors, my fellow man, my co-workers, I need to have a building block of love if I want 2020 to work well, if I want to prepare for it. But also, Not only do I need to be preparing myself in the realm of love for each other, I need to be preparing myself to be of service in the new year. Our love for God demands service. It fulfills the purpose that He put us here for. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." I want to tell you, anybody can utter the three words, "I love you." Or as we commonly say today when we're leaving, "Love you, see you later." They just roll right off the tongue. It is a whole nother emotion to show it, to practice it. You know, if we truly love someone else, we will do things for them. If we truly love someone else, we will make sacrifices for ourselves for their better. That is true love, ladies and gentlemen. True love is not, "He tells me I love you every time he leaves the house." That may be a part of it. True love is showing it. And true love in our relationship with God is showing it in service. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." In verse 7, I have it underlined and written out to the side in my Bible, "His love for man in his submission to the Father's will." In that he emptied himself, he took on the form of a bondservant or a bondslave, depending on your translation, and was made in the likeness of men. Christ Jesus willingly came to this earth. Christ Jesus willingly was persecuted by man. Christ Jesus willingly died on a cross. He had the power to stop it. But he gave his will to the Father and died for you and I. And that sacrifice, that love that he showed us, ought to make us be moved with wanting to serve that love. Wanting to repay it, although we can never pay it back fully. Want to work because of it. The greatest one is the one who serves. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, you'll remember in verse 20 that the mother of the sons of Zebedee has come to Christ and has asked the question in asked the request in verse 21 that her sons be able to sit, one on the right and one on the left. Starting in verse 25 though, he says, "And Jesus called them to himself, them being his disciples, and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and have great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." The greatest one to walk this earth came here to serve others. We need to always keep in mind what it means to be in service. Luke chapter 16 verse 13, Jesus says, "No one, no servant, can serve two masters. For either hate the one and love the other, or he will despise, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Service, true, wholehearted service. I don't know if that song's in our book or not, but growing up we sang that song a lot. True-hearted, wholehearted. True and wholehearted service is never divided. It is never serving one person one day and serving another the next. True and wholehearted service is devoted in service to their master or in service to their person, their brother, their sister, their family. True-hearted and wholehearted service takes great deal of time and effort. Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. The servant is always prepared to be of service where needed. And then let's look in Matthew chapter 25. The end of the chapter, verses 34 through 40. Or near the end of the chapter. Let's start in verse 34. Let's start at the beginning of the paragraph. 25, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Service requires a lot on our part. And having a heart of service, let me tell you, my friends, does not come easily to everyone. There are some people who just have a disposition towards service. You hate to put it that way, but they're born servants. Their wiring is that way. There are some people who will look for each and every opportunity to serve. And then there are others that it takes a great deal of effort to serve. And so for those individuals, there might be a lot of preparation that needs to be involved in order that they might be serving others. And so as we're preparing for 2020, if we want it to be a good year, a successful year, a good year in the eyes of the Lord, we need to be preparing ourselves to love and also to serve. And then let me add one more, and then we'll conclude the lesson. If I want 2020 to be a success, and I keep saying the word success, that's a business term. Of course, success is in the eye of the beholder, I think the phrase was once. We're talking about success from a godly standpoint this morning. I hope that's been evident. Where it is a successful year in that we've served the Lord, we've done work for His kingdom, and at the end of the year we feel better than we did at the beginning, maybe. But so we need to be preparing ourselves to love, preparing ourselves to serve. And then one that maybe for others, again, comes easy, like service or love, but for others is hard. We need to be preparing, and I'm going to try to word this the best I can, to be an optimistic people. And Brandon's not here, so someone can tell me after services if I misspelled optimistic. A Christian's life ought to be full of joy. We ought to be a happy people and making it our aim to let others see our happiness in Christ. Think about some of the ways in which we rejoice that we find in Scripture. Some of the ways in which ought to be molding us to be optimistic. Have a bright perspective on what the future holds. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice that there are those who walk in the truth. John writes in 2 John verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. We rejoice, we are optimistic because we know that through Jesus Christ we have salvation. And we rejoice because we can see the fruits of the efforts of the church. We have several school teachers or former school teachers here in the audience. Did every child you ever taught turn out perfect? Did any child you ever taught turn out perfect? Let me rephrase that. Did every child you taught turn out to be a success? Or were there some that maybe did not? Were there some years maybe where the class was so horrible you thought about giving up teaching? Let me ask you, if one child out of that class became a success and you realized you had a part on that, did it make it worth it? The joy for a teacher is seeing something realized in their student and seeing the impact that it makes. And sometimes, I've been out to eat with a couple of the teachers here. We've gone to a restaurant and someone's run into you that was a student. And does it bring you a little joy when you see how they turned out? We can rejoice in the fruit of the works of the church when we see individuals who were children that have grown up. A friend of mine who's one of my mentors made the comment the other day that he's always happy to see me because he feels a little bit like Paul with Timothy when he sees me. And while I don't necessarily understand that at this point, maybe I will one day. But I was a reading mentor for second graders who were challenged and unable to read. And some of the kids, I still see it on Facebook, some of the kids I taught when they were in second grade are now in middle school and on the honor roll for all A's. And it's really nice when you remember, I helped that child learn to read. They couldn't read a picture book. And now they're a middle schooler making straight A's. There is joy that comes from that. And so, becoming optimistic is not looking at the failures, but rather looking at the successes and preparing and saying there might be more successes in 2020. Let's continue to move forward. We need to be optimistic because regardless of how people here on this earth treat us, if we follow the Word of God, we have fellowship and friendship, as we talked a little bit about last week, with God in Christ. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. People in this world may turn their backs on us, but if we stay true to God, we have fellowship with Him. And then a third reason that every Christian ought to be filled with optimism, with joy. We can put that on the side here. is that we have been given the promise of eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, as Paul is starting the letter to the young man, in hope of eternal life with God who cannot lie, promised before time began. We all ought to be able to prepare ourselves for 2020 with an idea of joy and optimism because of what God has given us. Salvation, seeing those who walk in the truth, fellowship with God in Christ, the promise of a home in heaven. What will we make of 2020? We ought to make it the best year ever by providing love and service to others, by being filled with optimism and joy, by expecting a good year. And when those little speed bumps come along, not letting it destroy what we've built. We need to all challenge ourselves to get out of our comfort zones in the new year. Just because we've always done it this way doesn't mean it's right. And maybe by changing it slightly, we can better affect more people. Marvin jokingly said this morning when I got out of my car, "You're parking in the wrong spot." I said, "I picked a new spot. If I'm here another 2 years, I'll probably pick another spot after that. And change it around a little bit." Because when we get complacent, we're not growing. Now please, I don't think me moving my car is going to mean we're going to start growing. But it's the idea of complacency. Love, service, and optimism. These are very admirable traits. And as we're preparing for the new year, they'll help us be centered. The year's not over yet. We've still got 16 days to go. We can use these days to be preparing for the new year and to even make some changes. Maybe this year has not gone the best for us. Well, we've still got 16 days to make it better. And if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, you can end this year on a high note by becoming His child. Or if you're here this morning and you've not been living as you should, you can prepare to enter 2020 in a right relationship with God. And so if you're here this morning and we can help you, won't you come forward as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected?